coming Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 3 in the afternoon Central Time on November 2nd through 3 in the afternoon Central on November 3rd. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
As we look across the globe, we see there is opportunity like there never has been before. If you stop and think about it in terms of the ease of travel, the ease of communication, the opportunity for the gospel, the pure gospel, rediscovered in the Reformation, has never been greater than it is today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, November the 1st. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to kick off this second hour talking about Lutheranism around the world. The conclusion of our series this week during Reformation Week will go to Southern Africa. Dr. Carl Rockrohr will be our guest. Pastor Bart Day will join us after that. A brief conversation on the relief efforts in the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy, and then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Four soundbites, you get to pick soundbite of the week. To that end, you can give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or visit our Facebook fan page and vote there, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. Carl Rockrohr is theological educator at Lutheran Theological Seminary in Pretoria, South Africa, and academic associate to the Bishop of the Lutheran Church in Southern Africa. Dr. Rockrohr, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. It's good to talk to you.
One of your primary tasks there is seminary education, that is, the training of future pastors. Someone might ask, what does seminary education have to do with missions?
Well, that's an interesting question. One thing that's helpful to understand is how strong Christianity is in Africa now and how much the Christians of various churches, including the Lutheran Church, are growing so fast, so greatly in Africa that one of the primary needs is for these congregations, these mission stations, to be served by pastors. So that's really kind of a focus of the work of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and I think a lot of other churches too, is to help the national churches train their pastors. So it's the next step, so to speak. If the mission stations are started, the congregations are burgeoning, and they need pastors trained. And if you don't mind, I'd also like to point out this topic and from the Scriptures. And just briefly, in Titus chapter 1, starting in verse 5, Paul wrote Titus, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you." And he goes on and describes the pastoral officer, and he's really, the English translation is out of there. But when you look at this, Paul himself, it was the apostolic practice that wherever they went and there was little congregations started and things like that, they appointed pastors, shepherds for the people, to be in those places. And it's very interesting because he told Titus, "I didn't finish the work. There need to be pastors in each of these towns." So it's kind of interesting you see that need here in Africa, but that was the apostolic practice right away.
The religious demographic of Southern Africa is truly remarkable, but let's talk kind of generally about the entire continent for a bit. Could you run the numbers for us a little bit on the not only the number of Christians in Africa, but the growth of the number of Christians in Africa?
Right. Yeah, this is part of the amazing thing and part of the story in Africa is these statistics are taken from a variety of sources. One good source is Philip Jenkins' book. It's called The Next Christendom. But anyhow, in 1900, it's estimated there were about 8.7 million Christians in Africa. 100 years later, in 2000, it's estimated that there were 357 million Christians in Africa. And then just 11 years later, in 2011, 474 million Christians in Africa. That's a gain of about 120 million Christians in 11 years. And by 2025, Lord willing, it's just estimates, but it's estimated to be between 600 and 670 million Christians in Africa. And one of the amazing things about this is the growth of that. If to get to those numbers, there is it's figured that there's about 34,000 new Christians in Africa every day. And if you just think about that, the need for the pastors, the need for the shepherds, if you have 34,000 new Christians every day, how many new pastors do you need every day to meet that 34,000? So that also kind of explains just this growth of the church and the strength in the church. And another point of that, of those figures, too, is it's a percentage growth as well. It's just not like the population is growing, it's keeping even. In 1965, about 25% of Africa was Christian, and in 2001, and it still is about this today, about 46% to somewhere up to 50% Christian. Africa is a very Christian continent. It's growing, and the faith is going to keep growing in Africa.
What about Lutherans? How are they represented numerically in Africa?
Sure. In Africa, the Lutheran Church in Africa, it depends on the history of each country. So there are some countries in Africa where there's a great number of Lutherans, and some where there's just a few. It kind of depends where the American missionaries were from, where the German Lutheran missionaries, or the Swedish or Finnish Lutherans. But just to give some examples, one of the largest Lutheran churches in the world is in Ethiopia. And that country, Ethiopia, has 5.8 million Christians. And that is 6.9% of the population in Ethiopia. In the U.S., if the all Lutherans together in U.S. and Canada are 2.1%. Another incredible example is Tanzania, which has 5.8 million Lutherans, which is 13.5% of the population. In South Africa, we have about 600,000 Lutherans, and it's like 1.2% of the population. So all of Africa together, so it varies from country to country, but if you look at all of Africa together, it is about 2.1% of Africa's Lutherans, and then it's, 2%, about 20 million Lutherans in Africa, versus in the U.S. And Canada combined, 7.3 million. So you can really say there's three times as many Lutherans in Africa as in North America.
Then let's talk a bit, those are the numbers, let's talk a bit about the challenges, beginning a little closer to home for you. And when most people hear about Southern Africa, or in particular the country of South Africa, they think usually about the recent history of apartheid there and elsewhere in Southern Africa. How much does that still linger either as a reality or as a cultural memory presenting challenges to mission work there?
I think we've been here about 9 months. And I've noticed some things in 9 months, and I think in 2 years or longer, I've noticed more things. But I can tell you a few things that I've observed so far. It does linger. In one sense, it's in the law, in the new constitution, when apartheid went away in 1994, the constitution was written so that everybody had freedom. There was just very complete freedom in everything. So the whole issue of same-sex marriage or these types of things, they just said they're not going to be prejudiced against any group then. They say it's the most liberal constitution in the world. And because of that, then, people are looking, they feel free to express themselves in South Africa. And in that way, too, South Africa is different from other African countries. I've always felt welcomed by white South Africans or black South Africans. There's 11 official languages here. So you can speak. You never know, people can speak various languages, and it's an official language. As far as the work in the church goes, there is still blacks and whites, South Africans worship together. That's not a problem. And fellowship together. One of our partner churches is a primarily German-speaking white church. They're Phil Seastad, the Free Evangelical Lutheran Synod in South Africa, primarily white, but also have black congregations. And then also the Lutheran Church in Southern Africa, primarily black South African, but also a lot of white members. So there's unity and harmony between the different races and the Lutheran churches here. But there is still a reconciliation process going through, and we as Americans, we really kind of observe that. It's more between the churches themselves and some of the mission organizations that were here much longer than we are. So they're working through that. But it's very interesting. I'm very encouraged because the gospel and Christianity is very strong in South Africa. And people want to live in harmony. The Christians want to live in harmony. Even though there's societal pressures one way or this way to, gain advantage or further in one's society because one was disadvantaged before. In the church, there is really a feeling that there wants to be harmony and reconciliation where it needs reconciliation.
Outside the church, let's talk a little bit about some of the cultural and religious obstacles that face mission work in Southern Africa. Is there a significant obstacle presented by tribal affinity?
Underneath, I've just observed a few things. Sometimes, even within our church, if a congregation is mostly of one tribe and that is the language they speak, then a pastor that's mostly from another tribe that may speak that language but with an accent because that's not his home language, sometimes there can be uncomfortableness within the church. Outside the church, it's very interesting. What I've observed so far is the unions are very strong in South Africa, and they were a part of getting at apartheid and taking apart apartheid. But just even recently, union strikes at some of the mines and things, and they say they're illegal strikes and whatever. I'm not sure the details of South African law. But it's not so much tribal as kind of these political associations that were powerful in breaking up apartheid. Those things are still in place, and so those things kind of struggle back and forth. And I think in the church, some of our pastors preach about this, and they preach about what the gospel means and how we are servants of God and servants in society. And so our pastors preach for free peace and understanding when some of these things are still being sorted out post-apartheid.
Dr. Carl Rockrohr is our guest. We're talking about Lutheranism around the world today, Southern Africa. We'll talk about other world religions, indigenous religions, and the influence of Pentecostalism in Southern Africa right after this.
Issues Etc. 24 begins in 22 hours and 47 minutes. You're listening to Issues Etc.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at GraceLutheranRacine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Jonathan Cullen from France.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
First, I would like to say thank you very much for your program. It very much ministers to those of us who are outside the comforts and the luxuries of having a confessional Lutheran congregation nearby. Thank you very much for this great resource.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.
let me tell you about my faith. Well, it's okay to say that, but what we're really saying is, let me tell you about Christ.
So really, you think it's okay to kill a baby just because she happens to be female? So really, you think that you should be allowed to kill a baby moments before it would be born? You know, like, really, you think Down syndrome is a legitimate reason to take the life of another human who's inside the womb? You never hear those questions.
These aren't meant to be sort of a thermometer that you want to stick in your mouth and say, now, how am I doing on showing mercy or being pure in heart here? That's to look inward on ourselves.
Tongue-tied Moses leads Israel out of Egypt. Prostitute Rahab protects the people of God. Moabite Ruth continues the line to David. David, the simple shepherd, becomes Israel's greatest king. Who knew?
In about 20 minutes, Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Your chance to pick out of those four soundbites, which ought to be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, by email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or wait and give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. We're talking about Lutheranism around the world today, South Africa. Dr. Carl Rockroer is our guest. Carl, we talked before about the kind of the Christian religious landscape. Let's talk about the other world religions, the indigenous religions in Southern Africa. How is that a challenge for mission work?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because people often ask me, are you afraid of the Muslim violence or things like that? And people just don't always understand how big the continent of Africa is. The Muslim presence is mostly in North Africa and a bit going into Sub-Sahara there. And we're thousands of miles away from that. And so the Muslim influence in South Africa is quite small. Interesting, one of the larger non-Christian groups, religious groups, are Hindus. And the city of Durban, which is on the east side of South Africa, was always a big trading port with India. So there's quite a large Hindu population in that area of southeast South Africa. So that's, for some of the congregations, that's kind of a challenge, an opportunity as well. I think indigenous, not so much in South Africa. South Africa, the figures are, South Africa is 80% Christian, which is even a bit higher than the U.S., taken to be about 78% Christian. So the indigenous religions are there, but they're not, from what I've observed so far, it's not a direct conflict with Christianity, but rather that always that temptation to mix, some of the teachings of power or wanting spiritual power or spiritual healing and mixing that into the Christian message. And I think that's, in South Africa, that appears to be a stronger challenge, a bigger challenge than just direct conflict with traditional religions.
A couple of quick final questions for you, Carl. Talk about, and this is at least what we hear in the West, and that is much of the Christianity, the fast-growing Christianity in Africa, and I assume it's true also for Southern Africa, is Pentecostal in nature. Is there a challenge for a solid Lutheran confession in the Pentecostalism so popular there?
This is one of the bigger challenges. I'm really glad you brought that up. This is a big challenge, is solid Christian doctrine, solid Lutheran doctrine that people are really hungry for. They're hungry for God to be merciful, to be loved and protected by God. And what a lot of these, and it's true, a lot of these Pentecostal are even kind of African indigenous, or sometimes it's called African initiated Christian denominations. They push this spiritual power of the spirits and things like that, which we have as Christians, but they leave out the gospel, and it's kind of turned into a health and wealth type preaching. And so this is one thing that we see, and it's not only these churches that are growing, Lutherans in 22, Lutherans all over Africa. This is a temptation to them that all these Lutheran churches throughout Africa have quite a firm foundation, everyone I've met. And they're tempted by this, but they do want to know a strong understanding of the gospel and faith alone, scripture alone, and grace alone, and they stand on that. And so these are fast-growing churches, but this is only the opportunity as well for just strong theological education so that the pastors and the laity can witness to their fellow Christians in their area and you know, point them out to a better gospel. If they're growing and they're challenged, but Lutheranism, strong confession Lutheranism, knowing the gospel can meet it. And I think it's an exciting time to be this.
With only about 30 seconds, make the case for our listeners here that the Lutheran confession has a welcome home in Southern Africa.
One of the things that is very interesting is the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. This great freedom from sin, from the power of the devil, from death. And in South Africa, the message of freedom from bondage, freedom from oppression, it's a secular message, but the gospel is so much stronger because no matter how much political freedom you may get, you're still bound spiritually, and the people really know that. And this emphasis, I've heard this emphasis preached by our Lutheran pastors, this emphasis is a beautiful emphasis of Lutheranism, that we know we are free in Christ, outside our works, completely free from Satan, and I think I really love preaching the gospel as a Lutheran missionary here because it has a powerful message for this society.
Dr. Carl Rockrohr is theological educator at Lutheran Theological Seminary in Pretoria, South Africa, and academic associate to the bishop of the Lutheran Church in Southern Africa. You can find out more about confessional Lutheran mission work in Southern Africa at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Carl, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.